Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Bob Costa, Washington Bureau Chief for National Review, in for Jim Garrity today. Good, bad, crazy martinis for you as usual. And, Bob, it's good to have you back with us.
Hey, great to join you, Greg.
Well, let's start with what we're calling the good martini, but it's kind of a good debate to have within the Republican Party, and that's what to do about Obamacare. It's going to be part of the bad martini as well. But the debate that's been going on for a few weeks now, I've got a lot of the conservative Tea Party types, Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, saying, let's defund all of Obamacare now. We'll do a continuing resolution to fund everything at current government levels except for the complete defunding of Obamacare come the end of September. The Democrats, of course, are balking at that. They have no intention of going along with it. And most Republican leaders have been extremely reluctant to show any sort of favoritism towards that idea. You've just reported on this, so give our listeners an idea of the tension within the party on this right now.
The tension is not really one of principle. When you look at the right side of the House Republican Conference, you see that everyone wants to repeal Obamacare. Everyone, almost 100%, wants to delay Obamacare. It's a question then of strategy. It's how do you do that? How do you make that happen? And there is a contingent on the right side, the right flank of the House, that wants to defund Obamacare by connecting it to government funding this fall. But this, of course, would probably cause a government shutdown, recriminations within the House GOP, chaos, a media spotlight, a media glare that's uncomfortable. So House leaders are reluctant to do this. So this is the question moving forward now is, if you want to get rid of Obamacare, how do you do it? And I think it's not going to be a shutdown, though, because according to my reporting, House leaders are just not feeling the need to shut down the government and make a statement if they're not going to win anything in return because of the Democratic majority in the Senate and, of course, the president in the White House.
Bob, what do they say to the suggestions of the Mike Lees and the Ted Cruzes out there who say that we wouldn't be the ones shutting down the government? We're offering to fund everything else exactly at the levels where it is now. So it would be Democrats in the Senate or President Obama or both who are essentially shutting down the government. Is that an argument they could win in the public stage?
I think it's an argument they could win on the conservative stage, and it's an argument that many conservatives identify with. There's a real appetite on the right to go right at the president, to go right at his law, and to try to do everything to tear it apart and to make sure it doesn't get implemented. But we're in divided government right now, and I think this is what Republicans have to deal with, is that the reality of government is that even if it got through the Senate, a defund bill that was connected to government funding, even if it got through the Senate, that means 14 Democrats, unlikely, went with Republicans. It would still land on the president's desk, and he would veto it. But I think your point's a good one, Greg. There is a question of leadership. How far should the Republicans push? Some conservatives say you have to make a statement. You have to fight hard, and that's how you win the ultimate war against the law.
Your colleague Ramesh Panura wrote yesterday saying the lessons of the government shutdown in 95 means that Republicans can't possibly win this. Do you think the dynamics are the same?
I think so, because, I mean, here's just an example of why. I spend my time on Capitol Hill. I go to the press galleries a lot at the U.S. Capitol for the Senate and the House. And I hear a lot of the off-the-record chatter between fellow journalists. And they talk about 95 as a disaster for Republicans. I think they would cast it in the same light this time. Conservatives may be able to think, may think that they can wring concessions out of the White House and that the president may buckle and Harry Reid may buckle. But the way this is probably going to unfold is that if they do push for a shutdown, the media will immediately say the Republicans are being intransigent, they're playing brinksmanship games, and it just wouldn't be a winner.
What happens now to those who are saying, if you are opposed to Obamacare, you have to defund it? That's essentially the argument from the right flank, as you termed it. So if the leadership doesn't go there, how do they back away from this other than just voting against whatever continuing resolution they do throw up there?
It's a great question. This is something Boehner has grappled with behind the scenes. And here's how he's going to his members and making a different argument. He's saying, okay, you want to couple government funding with defunding Obamacare. He says, I understand that argument. It's a fair case to make. But how about this? The debt limit is coming up as well. Instead of tying government funding and the continuing resolution to defunding Obamacare, why not tie delaying Obamacare to the debt limit? And he points out privately, from what I've heard, that the debt limit is oftentimes a stage where you can get a lot done compared to the continuing resolution to fund the government. So it's more of a question of scenery, the CR versus the debt limit as a place to really have the Obamacare fight.
fascinating to see how this will play out in the coming weeks, but it looks like the stage is already set for a slightly different showdown than we were initially expecting. On to the bad martini now, Bob, and staying with Obamacare, we've already seen the firestorm of controversy come up over the exchanges going forward with the Obama administration admitting that all the verification as to whether folks are eligible for certain programs is not going to be in place. They're kind of going on the honor system. The big thing, of course, was the delay of the employer mandate. Now we see just today, kind of buried in the Federal Registry, is a report that out-of-pocket cost caps are going to be delayed for at least another year as well, meaning that folks who thought they were going to know exactly how much they might be forced to pay in 2014, not the case. So not only is this bad news for America, it's once more probably ammunition for, I know Rand Paul's out there today and some others saying this is another example of the administration just doing whatever it wants, regardless of what the law says.
That's exactly right. And as Max Baucus famously said, Obamacare is looking to be a train wreck. And Republicans are counting on implementation problems to be a real winner for them in 2014 as they try to keep the House and win back the Senate. And I think that the biggest story is not only the delays, which are, of course, the employer mandate delay is big, and the push by the Republicans to have the individual mandate delayed is also an interesting story. But it's really what you were talking about, Greg, which is where this new website can be fired up to have Obamacare starting as a federal program, and you're going to have a lot of people applying, you know, maybe millions of people within weeks trying to get access to federal health care policies. And there's no one even looking over the eligibility question. I mean, on some of the most core questions of implementing a new federal program, there are major gaps. And this is, I think, maybe Republicans will have to do pretty little in terms of opposing law. Maybe they don't need to shut down the government. Maybe the law just falls apart on its own.
Well, that would certainly be music to the ears of conservatives and to a majority of Americans if the polls from before, during, and after the original Obamacare debate are anywhere close to being accurate. So on to the crazy martini now. August is the month of town halls because it's the summer recess for members of Congress. We have not seen anything like we thought we might see over immigration, except for the pro-immigration reform folks showing up at some conservative town halls. The issue that has been out there for a while now popped up at a town hall for Texas Congressman Blake Farenthal, and the issue is the eligibility of President Obama to be president. A woman handed him a folder and said, here is ironclad proof that he is committing a felony. He is not eligible to be president. And Farenthal says, quote, I think, unfortunately, the House is already out of the barn on this, on the whole birth certificate issue. The original Congress, when his eligibility came up, should have looked into it, and they didn't, and I'm not sure how to fix it. He went on to say, if we were to impeach the president tomorrow, you could probably get the votes in the House of Representatives to do it, but it would go to the Senate, and he wouldn't be convicted. So what Farenthal is trying to say there is, we're not going to do anything because even if this is a valid case, there's no way we would actually accomplish anything on this. But what the liberal media and the Democrats will likely take away from this is, here's another birther, and this issue is not going away. This is the Republican Party.
This is reality. We have a 24/7 media culture and Twitter political coverage, and you see Think Progress is at Blake Farenthal's town hall in Texas, looking at this sophomore congressman as he's talking about birtherism. And I think, you know, Republicans are going to have to, instead of wagging a finger at the liberal press and saying it's unfair coverage, you know, Republicans are still talking about the birther issue, and it's not a behind-the-scenes thing, a secret video. This is an elected U.S. congressman. He's friendly with leadership, talking about the president's birth certificate. And it shows me that the Republican Party, as much as they may be doing deaf politics on Obamacare, still is a little bit tone-deaf on what doesn't play in the media.
Well, and it's August. It's kind of a slow season for news, usually. And so if nothing knocks it off the front page of the New York Times or the MSNBC shows, we could be hearing a lot of chatter about this for a while, but it'll be only by those who want to see it become a story because they think it's bad for the GOP, I would guess. What do you think?
I think that's right. I think, you know, MSNBC has a wide reach and it loves blasting up these Republican crazy stories and saying, oh, look at this party, it's nuts. But Republicans have to have more focus, though they control the House. Someone like Blake Farenthal, who I covered in the House, he's a friendly guy, he's an amiable guy, but so often some of these members of Congress forget that they're national politicians under the national spotlight. And are Democrats overdoing it with their coverage? Sure, of course they are. But at the same time, you know, this is how Republicans always get off message. The Democrats distract them, they take the bait, and they run with it. And it just shows me a lack of focus as a reporter about what they're really trying to do with this August recess. Instead of hammering the White House, they're stepping in this birtherism mud.
Bob, great to have you back with us. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks, Greg.
Bob Costa is the Washington Bureau Chief for National Review and for Jim Garrity today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join Jim and me on Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.